Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How's everybody today?
Blessed.
Are you blessed and highly flavored? Praise God. Christmas Eve night, we have a jam festival on our campus. Everybody is welcome. Bring whatever God leads you to bring. Bring your neighbors. We praise and worship and dance in the street. We have videos for kids, and there'll be a bouncy and a paint facer, face painter, something like that. What? Oh, there won't be any service next Friday night. But there'll be service on the campus next Friday night. Praise God is right. Hallelujah! Blessed and highly favored. Would you turn to Psalm 103, please? He came from heaven to earth to show the way, and he paid the price for each and every one of us. Amen? Oh, that we might comprehend that, fully comprehend. You know, I think one of the greatest things that God desires is that we have understanding not only of who he is, but who we are in him. And in Psalm 103, in verse 1, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's a request from God. He says, bless me with your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your strength, your imagination. Bless every, and all that's within me, bless me. Why? Because he's trying to get something to you. See, the King of Glory is always trying to get something to you. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I hear so many times, I don't know why the Lord took that from me. He didn't. God doesn't take things from you. The devil takes things from me and you. The problem is we allow him to. I need to do a teaching, how stupid can we be and still breathe? But this is reality. You know, God is not taking anything from anyone. He's come to bring us life and life abundantly. Amen? It's the devil that steals things. The problem is the devil's using believers to assist in stealing for his kingdom. And they're not rejecting it. They're not resisting it. In other words, restraints seem to be removed. There's the restraints. Restraints of walking upright with God, restraints have seemed to perish. And the word says something powerful in the book of Proverbs. It says, restraints are removed because of the lack of revelations people get. That means when there's a lack of revelation, you lose sight of who you are. So when you lose sight of who you are, because the devil wants to steal your identity in Christ, when you begin to drift of who you are and you begin to fall in who you were, then restraints begin to perish, and a desire to walk in holy conduct, uprightness begins to diminish because the fear of God begins to be separated. So we're no longer living for God, we're living for ourselves. That's what's called religion. See, people can go to church every Sunday and feel good, then when they leave, they'll go right back to what they were doing. That's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to gather together, receive God, and make an exchange. We're exchanging our hearts for his hearts, our will for his will, our wisdom for his wisdom. We're making an exchange because without exchange, we don't change. And it must be constant. But the enemy is trying to always steal. In fact, the word tells us that the devil comes to steal the seed. He's always trying to steal what God has imparted in you and exchange it for the things of the world. So then we never progress. We don't learn. We don't go forward. We actually go backwards and don't even realize it. We begin to compromise, become complacent and lazy. And he says something very powerful. He says, with all that's within you, bless. Go to verse 2 now. He says, bless the Lord, all my soul. All my soul. And forget not what? All his benefits. How many of you know you have spiritual entitlements? These are called benefits. They're entitlements to me and you. But first of all, it starts off with, you must bless the Lord with all of your, in other words, everything that's within you. You must make contact with heaven. You must make contact in the Spirit. With the King of Glory. There must be a contact. How many of you know that you don't get gas in your car unless you go to the gas station? Amen? The gas doesn't come to you. You must go to the, and then when you go to the gas station, there's something you must do. You got to get out of your car. You got to put money in, plastic most likely. Then you have to take the nozzle out. You have to undo the cap. You have to put it in. And you have to squeeze. In other words, it's called cooperation to receive gas. Then what can you do? Then you can continue to go. Well, it takes cooperation to receive from God. Or else you're doing it all on your own and it's not counted for nothing. That's where the Lord says, they build my house in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, we build it in vain. Amen. So there's this area, okay, so he says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me. Bless the Lord, all my, and forget not spiritual benefits that are granted to you. They are yours. They're mine. These are entitlements. Amen? He says what? Verse 3. Here's the first one. Isn't this the greatest one? It says, who forgives all of our iniquities, our sins, our transgressions. He forgives us. But there's got to be cooperation. You don't get forgiveness without asking. You don't get it without repenting. So there's a cooperation. This is the area what we call grace, because grace is God's plan. It's not some mystical, magical thing that says, I'm saved and I'm always saved and I just go out and serve the devil, fornicate, lie, cheat, steal, and murder and still make it home. No, you won't. You will go to hell. Real simple. That's the lie of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
This has got to stop. And we got to stand up for what the truth is, because so many people are being taken out and going to hell. That have started off right but ended wrong. And it's terrible. And we still have these idiot preachers out there telling everybody you can do whatever you stinking want and expect to go home. It ain't going to happen that way. God says, be holy for I am holy. Amen? Amen? Good. So now he says. Hallelujah. It was a snap moment. So you got to ask for forgiveness, right? Amen. And then he says this, look at, so when you ask for forgiveness, you know what? You're forgiven. You're washed by the blood. There's something that follows the blood of Christ. It's the stripes of Christ. He paid the price for me and you. He was whipped approximately 39 times, which is all the supposedly diseases that there are out there, all combinations. So he was striped. See, the blood, then the stripes follow. And he says here, who forgives your iniquities and what? Heals your diseases. See, when there is truly not true repentance, which means turn away from, sometimes that's what holds people getting back from being healed. Turning away from things. If you keep blabbing your mouth off and expect to be healed, it ain't going to work. You keep touching unclean things with your thoughts, your words, or whatever, it ain't going to happen. Because then we're not cooperating. Amen? So it takes cooperation. He says, and now look at this, verse 4. So once you're forgiven, you're washed by the blood, you're healed by the stripes, then he says, who redeems your life from destruction? Well, who's come to bring destruction? The powers of darkness. And he says, I'm gonna redeem your life from the destruction that you were already in. Amen? I'm going to give you a new life. And then I'm going to crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies because I love you. Then he says, and I'm going to satisfy your mouth with good things. I'm going to put good things, why it's going to change the course of your life as you begin to change your words. So that what? Your youth can be renewed like the eagles. So that we can be renewed, refreshed, rejuvenated. Does everybody get that? So, you know, people walk in oppression. They look to the doctor for a pill to change their life. It doesn't. It's a lie. It doesn't change you. It just makes you more zombinized. You're unblessed. No. These are what we call spiritual entitlements. They are benefits. They're promises. But he says there's first something you got to do. You got to cooperate. Make connection. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You know, people just go out and do whatever they think and they think and they want and whatever. Because to them, they live by how they feel. Well, I feel this way today. I think I'll do this. Did you ever ask? The Lord says, acknowledge me in all your ways and I'll guide your path. I'll set your path for you. When you really have God set your path for you, then you... Believe me, we walk in enough traps. Many of us still have wounds and scars in our life. Hurts because of the things that we've set our own paths instead of not acknowledging the Lord. In Psalm 149, spiritual entitlements, benefits, promises. Hallelujah. Psalm 149, let's speak it together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. You think they're in parallel? Yes. Praise the Lord. That means with your tongue. Oh, praise God with my thoughts. Oh, get behind me. I've heard people say, well, I'll keep you in my thoughts. Don't keep me in your thoughts. Keep me in your prayers. Your thoughts are nothing to me. Hallelujah. In fact, I don't want to be in your thoughts because I can imagine all the other things that are in your thoughts. I don't want to be a part of those things. Amen. We have enough battle of our own in him. Praise the Lord. Sing, hello, sing. Oh, happy day. Yeah. When Jesus wants. Sing to the Lord a new song. Do we sing to him a new song today? Yeah. Hey, listen, look at it. And his praise in the assembly of the what? Saints. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a saint. You're a saint. You don't have to be voted. Hello? You don't have, listen, you're a saint. All this religious garbage. Well, we're going to put somebody to be a saint today. Where you been, homie? Did you ever hear that? I'm going to be a saint because I'm going to take the promise. I'm going to decree that I'm going to live in impoverishness and poverty for God Almighty. He doesn't want you to be in poverty. That's from the devil. He said he come to bring you life and life abundantly, not to be impoverished. I'm telling you, some people are just plumb dumb. And it's religious garbage. Yeah. Sing to the Lord a new song in his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let the house of true ministries rejoice in their maker. And the children of Zion be joyful in their king. That's what you do. That's why we praise. We're being joyful in his presence. We're giving honor to the king because we're king's kids. Everyone turn to your neighbor and say, you're a king's kid. And you have spiritual entitlements because you have an inheritance from the king. And you need to break the inheritance of the devil off. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Let them praise his what? His name with a what? You saw those two dudes dancing up there, didn't you, this morning? Vivalina. Praise God. Let them praise his name with a dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. Well, we've got fingers and hands. Yeah. Do you know when you clap and you praise God, demons hate it. You know what you're actually doing is saying, shoo, shoo, shoo. They hate it. That's why the devil convinces people to just go to a place where they sit behind and there's this little hymn there and they pick up the hymn. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Okay. No, we're to get up and praise God. We're to acknowledge him. Why? He wants to be acknowledged, so he comes. Because when he comes, you know what? We change. We have joy. Things change in our life. It's not to be dead, we're to be alive. Let them praise his name with a dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes what? Pleasure when we do this. In his people, he will beautify the what? Humble with what? You know, you got to get humble, man. You got to get down to get up. Verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. This man, when God shows up, it's a glory realm. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Well, praise God, you're out of bed, so you ought to sing even louder. Now, here's the kicker. You ready for this? Let the high praises of God be in your mouth, and a two-edged sword in your hand. Why? Because when you praise and worship the Lord, the anointing comes. King David, who was a young boy, who faced a giant, a Nephilim hybrid offspring of the fallen angels, who had power. He was a big guy. He was 12 to 14 feet tall. David went to go face him, and he mocked David. Man, what is this? You got stones, dude. What you going to do with that? This dude's got a big sword and big shield. And David says, man, you come with all of your equipment, and I come in the name of the Lord. Amen. And he hit him right, see, because the stones represented the word, which hit him right between the, knocked him over. And what did David, look at, without, David was a praise and worship leader. He carried the presence of God. He couldn't have picked up Goliath's sword unless he had the strength and the anointing to, and then cut off his head. That's why we bring the high praises of God. Why? So we get more presence of God. And we're able to overcome more of the influences of the world. Now look at it. He says, let the high praises of God be in your mouth and two-edged sword in your hand. To what? To execute vengeance on the nations. The word nations means and associated with people. Rebellious, disobedient in the arena. For me and you, it's demonic forces now. and the punishments on the people. And to bind, we have two keys, to bind and loose. Most people don't even know they have the keys of heaven. They never even used them. Let me tell you, pick up that prayer booklet we have, and almost every one of those prayers has a bind and loose key in it. Because those are what God gave me and you. He says, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Most people don't even know what the keys to the kingdom are because they're religious. They got no idea. They're blessed. Their only concern is about living in this realm, and that's it. Have no idea that one day they're going to stand before the King of Glory and give account of everything. No reverence, no fear. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. And to what? Execute on them the written judgment, justice, which is backed by righteousness. This is an honor. Have all the saints praise the Lord. This is an honor of the saints. This is a spiritual entitlement. It is an honor to execute justice. That's one of your entitlements. Does everybody get it? To execute justice. Why? It is backed by righteousness. Go to Psalm 1. Oh, we could be here for days on this. Oh, happy day. Hallelujah. Verse 1, Psalm 1. What's it say? Blessed. Blessed, favor, acknowledged by God is the man who what? Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Ooh. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. How many of y'all know the world has ungodly counsel? Nor does he stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Wow. Blesses a man. In other words, benefits by obedience. Who what? Rejects ungodly counsel. Separates himself from the evil presence and doesn't fellowship with bitterness and rebellious individuals. But his delight is in the law, or the truth of the word. And in his law he meditates day and night. He desires truth. Everything he does, he compares the truth of God. Everything. Why? Because righteousness and justice is established by God's throne room. So everything that you and I look at should be associated, whether this is righteous and justice, is this pleasing God or displeasing God? Righteous injustice, righteous injustice. Remember we talked about being filled. The only reason why people aren't getting filled, because the word says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So they go through all of these rituals to get filled, but they never seek righteousness and they don't get filled. It says something very powerful. It says, verse 3, he shall be like a what? A tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. In other words, you will bear good fruit. Whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does will what? Prosper. Prosper. Listen, it's not about just financial prosper. You can have all the money in the world and still go to hell. In fact, most people who have money, they spend more time trying to protect their money. Hello? They do everything they can to protect it instead of give it. And in this arena, he's saying, look, the greatest thing that I can have is spiritual prosperity. It's the greatest riches there is. To know who you are and who he is. And to have fellowship with the King of Glory and the Creator, the one who made me and you. To know when he speaks to you. To hear his voice. You know when he calls your name. To know, have direction. Amen? But the ungodly is not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment or reward, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. So benefits are determined, spiritual entitlements are determined upon your cooperation. See, so many people think that they're entitled to everything. Well, this is supposed to give me. Amen. Without cooperation. Again, your car doesn't get filled up with gas unless you go to the gas station. Amen. Unless God sends you on a mission. Now, I've had powerful testimony. I knew a gentleman that came all the way from California to Florida and never stopped for gas because the Lord sent him. Never stopped for gas. His car was on empty all the way. I would say he was obedient. Woo! It's called divine positioning. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Would you read it? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Now wait a minute, hold on a second. It says that he just blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Those are spiritual entitlements, aren't they? But then he says something right after, he says, there's something that you must cooperate with. What? He says that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. Mm. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So he said, there's something that I want you to know. You're to be holy. You're to be without blame. Holy, without blame. That can only be done without separation, or what we call consecration, sanctification. And Third John. See, what we're seeing right now is many restraints being released, more and more. There's no more restraints. Third John, verse 2. Would you read it with me? Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper, grow in all things, and be in what? In health. Is that a spiritual entitlement? Yeah. Just as your what? Soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination. What's that? Is it prosperous? Why? Because it's beginning to line up with the character of Christ. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the what? Truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. So these spiritual benefits or entitlements determine on whether you're walking in truth. You may know it, but you must walk in it. Does everybody get it? I know where the gas station is, but I got to get there. Then I got to cooperate when I get there. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. See, walking in truth allows you the spiritual entitlement. People are crying out to God, Lord, you said this, you said that. He said, no, I said this too. I said this. If you do this, then I'll do that. Amen. Romans 15. Hallelujah. Romans 15 and verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a what? A servant to the circumcision for the truth of God. To what? Confirm. The what? The promises or the entitlements made to the fathers. And that the what? Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. See, you and I were Gentiles at one time. We didn't have the spiritual entitlements and the benefits. But now we do. Because there's neither Jew nor Greek nor Gentile. We are Christ. I don't desire to be a Jew. I don't need to be a Jew. I'm Christ. Now I have the inheritance of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in Jesus now. I don't need to be a Jew. Jew doesn't need to be a Jew. He needs to be Christ-like. Does everybody get this? And we're no longer, I'm no longer Italian. I'm Christ. Even though I may act it occasionally, but praise God. In verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Loud him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall what? Hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in following or believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. See, Jesus came as a servant of obedience to confirm the promises, as an example and the way to walk. Why? So that you may receive the entitlements. Amen? We are to follow and submit, that the spiritual entitlements may be released to each of his children. See, we have what we call temporary entitlements and eternal entitlements. Things that abound for this realm and things that abound for the eternal realm. In 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Is everybody okay? In verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? Grace and peace be what? Multiplied to you where? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his what? Divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge or fellowship of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and great precious promises or spiritual entitlements, that through these you may be what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For these things are yours. In other words, these are requirements of God for you to receive spiritual entitlements. He said, for these things are yours and abound. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted. He who is not submitting to these things or cooperating with these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more what? Diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will what? Never stumble or never lack. For so an entrance, now he's talking about eternal entitlement. For an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Knowing him and knowing the promises of the entitlements that he has for me and you should bring a desire for me and you to want to cooperate, to want to please. And by cooperating and pleasing, something begins to happen. You partake of his divine nature. Why? He's always looking for himself. He's not looking for the old you. He's looking for the new you, which is the character of himself and me and you. Amen? So he's looking so that we partake of this divine nature, which avoids worldly ways. Amen? Worldly ways of lust or overwhelming desires to feed the flesh. So we're trying to avoid those things because they contaminate the divine nature and separate us from the entitlements of God. In Hebrews chapter 6, what the enemy wants to do is disqualify you for these entitlements. Some people have been disqualified for temporary entitlements, but they finally got to the place where they got an eternal entitlement. And some people have been qualified for temporary entitlements and will lose the eternal entitlement. That's why the word says everyone must work out their own salvation. But everybody thinks, well, I'm going to work out my own salvation according to my way. No, you work out your salvation according to his way, or it's the highway. We want to hear truth, right? Amen. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9, please. Let's speak this together, please. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that are, that what? Accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, what accompanies salvation? Spiritual entitlements. Yeah. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. All the way where? To the end. And that you don't become what? Sluggish, lazy, compromised. That you don't lose discipline, but imitate those who, through faith and patience or endurance, inherit the promises or the entitlements. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I'll bless you, and multiplying, I'll multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, see, this is the problem. People want it right now. I prayed for it. I want it now. I expect it this way. I haven't gotten hardly anything that I thought that way. Because God likes to surprise us. He loves to surprise children. He likes to send like a package. And it comes wrapped. Oh, finally! I didn't know it was going to come this way. All the things I did. And still you love me? Wow, what a loving dad. Yeah. Verse 16. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is for them and an end of all dispute. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel confirmed by it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to what? Lie. We might have strong consolation and have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before me and you. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence beyond the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, Jesus Christ, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Notice he's saying, look, don't become sluggish. hold to the faith vision, endure so that he maintain qualification for the final entitlement, which is also eternal life. That's an entitlement, but we must hold fast all the way to then. See, one of the problems is that many people quit. They quit. They sell their soul for fame and wealth, prosperity. They sell their soul for the lust of the world. Well, then he was never saved from the beginning. Baloney. The word says, if anyone confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, accepts him, and repents for their sins, they are saved. I hear this foolishness all. Well, then they weren't saved from the beginning. No, no. God doesn't interfere with your free will. Amen. In 2 Peter chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. In verse 2, verse 1, I think. Let's start at verse 1. But there were also what? False prophets among the people, even as there will be what? False teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. I think that's happened already. Or there wouldn't be preaching of once saved, always saved. There wouldn't be preaching saying, well, you can have, you know, it's okay to fornicate. It's okay to have same-sex marriage. It's okay for abortion. All of these things, it's okay. That's not the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Not at all. Why, he said, be holy and blameless. False teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be what? Blasphemed. By covetous, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Wow. I want to go to verse 18. Would you speak it with me? It says, for when they speak great swelling words of what? Emptiness. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. Well, they promise them what? Liberty. That is called false entitlements. They promise them false entitlements. They themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into what? Bondage. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Other than that, it's bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangle, they are entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Let me tell you, there are many people who have no idea that a worse is on their way. Nobody outruns reaping. What you sow is what you reap. Nobody outruns it. Verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit. The word dog in the Bible means demonized. It means a person is demonized, influenced. Open the door, demons come in. And a soul, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. False entitlements. I want to share something, because when this was coming to me this morning, I saw the pressure, where people are pressured. They're pressured by these individuals that are influenced by demonic activity. And they're pressured, and with two things that they use intimidation and provoke. They use intimidation and they provoke. They intimidate and they provoke. They intimidate and provoke until they get what they want. And that's what a demon does. It intimidates and provokes until it convinces you to cooperate. They don't let up unless you get rid of them. If you allow them presence, if you allow them access, they will intimidate you and provoke you till they get what they want. That is not God. Not at all. If somebody's got to intimidate you or provoke you to do something, you can be sure it ain't God. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24. See, because intimidation and provoking is associated with manipulation. You know, did you ever get those salesmen that intimidate and provoke you? And then they manipulate and they make all of these promises, and the next thing you know, you're involved in something like, oh my God, what the heck did I do? Well, that's what the enemy does. He intimidates and provokes till you finally cooperate. Unless you cut that off and cut that spirit out. And sometimes people are the same way, because people are, that's how the devil operates in this realm, is he's got to use people. Amen? He doesn't come to you every day and say, "Hi, I'm the devil. I plan on doing this to you. But you got to figure it out what I'm doing today." No. Hallelujah. In verse 24, is everybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. "Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the what? The prize." That would be called an entitlement. "Run it in such a way that you may obtain it. For everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a what? Perishable crown." It has nothing to do with eternal. "But we for an imperishable crown." That means eternal. "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who what? Beats the air. But I what? I what? Come on, I what? I discipline. How many of y'all know it's going to take discipline? That means that you must deny yourself. You can't make decisions by how you feel or intimidation or provoking. You make decisions by truth. Decisions that you know please God, that are associated with righteousness and justice. Amen? "But I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? Disqualified. See, what the enemy wants to do is disqualify us from these spiritual entitlements. How many of y'all know you need wisdom from a heaven? Amen? Well, man, we need the wisdom, we need the knowledge, we need the understanding, we need the discernment, we need spiritual gifts, we need the anointing. From all of these things are spiritual entitlements that the enemy wants to disqualify. You know how many people are not baptized in the Holy Ghost? That's a spiritual entitlement from God Almighty. In fact, he said it. He said, "Do not leave Jerusalem until you are empowered." That was a promise from God. And some of them rejected it. 500 were told that this entitlement was there because of the price Jesus paid. 120 showed up. I always say the other ones started denominations. Why? Because they missed the power and the presence of God. They remember what he said and said, "Okay, we'll take that and start a denomination." Then they called themselves all kinds of names. Exalted their denomination above God Almighty. "What faith are you?" "Well, I belong to this church. I belong to this denomination." What the heck kind of faith is that? Does everybody understand that? I'm not Catholic, I'm not Baptist, I'm not Presbyterian, I'm not Pentecostal, I'm not all of them. I am Christ-like, that's that. I am a Christian, which says I am Christ-like. I belong to no denomination. I belong to a kingdom. I might as well just shorten it and say demonization. What demonization you belong to? Snap! Hallelujah. Glory! But I discipline myself. Okay, Romans 8, let's go there quick. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh or denomination. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the what? Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." Man, we want to be sons and daughters of the Most High. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father," which means daddy. There's relationship. He's my dad. I'm his son. That's all that's to it. He's more than God to me. He should be more than God to you. See, the world acknowledges Jesus, the Father, the Holy Ghost, as God. And he is God. The world acknowledges. I acknowledge him as God. But he's my dad. And I'm his son. That's called relationship. And he knows when I blow it, I ask for forgiveness. And he's waiting for me. The times when I step on his feet, which I do occasionally, "Forgive me, Dad." "Okay, son." I'll never forget. Because see, when there's a relationship, one day I was all frustrated, and I did something I shouldn't have. I said something I shouldn't have. I said, "Lord, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I, in the spirit, I saw him at the end of my couch. And he was sitting there all relaxed. I think, man, I'm all freaked out. Because I'm you're relaxed. And he said, guy, when you have relationship with me, your mistakes are my problems, not yours. Man, peace just overwhelmed me. Whoa. And that burden just lifted from me. How many of y'all know you sense when that burden lifts? Oh, and there's just that, oh, whew, man, it was heavy. Didn't you, and sometimes we didn't even realize how heavy that burden was until it left. See, he wants us to know our mistakes are his problems. Lord, I blew it. I know. You know, if you'd have listened to me 3 days ago, you wouldn't have done what you did today. That was you? You know better than that. Okay. See, you can't manipulate God. He sees it all, knows it all. He already knew before you were going to do it. He tried to tell us, but no. We got in the flesh. Came the flesh creature. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further, please. Where are we at, anyways? Okay. In verse 16, the Spirit himself does what? Bears witness with our spirit that we are what? See, he's always trying to tell us who we are. And if children, then what? Heirs. That means you got it. Spiritual entitlement. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him. If we suffer with him. If we cooperate with him. Why? Because he went through it and so are you and me. But he paid the price on the cross. We don't have to go that far. We just got to be led by the Spirit and have our old man crucified. That we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of sons of God. Let me tell you, all the world, all everything is waiting for me and you. We're waiting for a glorified body. Hallelujah, I could use one. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So all creation is going to be turned into our hands. It's ours. All creation. See, we were created to reign. So you're on this earth to be trained. God sent you here so that you can be trained. And all of this is going to go. We're going to hit eternity. And God's going to use... You know, think about this. There is about 100 billion stars in this galaxy. And there's about 100 billion galaxies. Think about this. I think there's room for everyone that's been created in this realm to rule. But see, first we got to get a glorified body. We're going to go home, then we're going to come back, and we're going to complete our training here for 1,000 years. And then everything's going to burn. We're going to have one place, one headquarters. It's called Eternal Jerusalem. And then God will go from there. One day I had a vision. I was over the earth, and I was with the Lord, and all of these angels were there. And then the Lord looked at me, and he said, you see all this? I said, yes. And I could see the whole earth. And it seemed like all of a sudden it was being rolled up. Everything was being rolled up. All creation was being rolled up. And all of a sudden it was almost like he was standing there with all creation rolled up in his hand in a scroll. And he said, one day I'm going to unroll all new creation. And then all of a sudden all of his children were there. And this is what will reign. A whole new creation. See, we get so caught up in all of this that we lose sight that this place is temporary. Just temporary. It's just a place of training. Yeah, we still got to live in this realm and put up with ourselves and all the other stuff and demons and all kinds of stuff. And he is frustrated. People that are hungry and hurting and dying because they can't get medication to them. No, I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair at all. But the rule of this world is not fair. Does everybody understand that? Because God created things with a free will. And because all things were turned over to man to rule the world, they blew it. And it's been handed down to us. But now we have the presence and the glory of God, the power, the anointing of Christ Jesus, the Word. He who is in us is greater than he is in the world, that can restrain evil until we're removed. The problem is people aren't restraining evil. They've let down the restraints themselves and allowed evil influence to rule their life, where they're not helping to expand the kingdom of God. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure where? In earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be what? Manifested in us. Yeah, you're going to go through it. You're supposed to go through it. Because every time you come up, you're going to go through it. To get you what? Back. Amen? That's why the Lord gave us the formula. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. Yeah. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. That grace, the plan of God, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Everyone say, I'm not going to lose heart. Even though my outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being what? Renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, even though it seems like it's still going on forever, is working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we don't look at the things which are what? Seen, but at the things that are what? Not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. And I'm going to close at 2 Corinthians 6. Light afflictions for our benefit. Spiritual entitlements. You know, the world is expecting entitlements for doing nothing. In fact, they're riding in the streets because they're not getting what they want. It's going to get worse. Wait till the entitlements are removed. What are people going to do then? See, they're going to look to steal your entitlement. Oh, things are about to happen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, no, 17, I'm sorry, verse 17. Therefore, what does he say? Come out from among them and be what? Separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what is unclean. And I will what? Receive you. And I'll be a father. Hello, he didn't say, he said, I'll be a father. That's his desire. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my what? Sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these entitlements, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear, reverence, and honor to God Almighty who created me and you. Amen? Spiritual entitlements are dependent and our cooperation. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed for your word. Let this seed that's been imparted in each and every one of us be protected by the blood of the Lamb so that it will grow. And Lord, keep us separate from the entitlements and the ways of the world that we may receive our true inheritance here on earth and home. In Jesus' name.